The time is 7 p.m. on Wednesday, September
4. About all noise, Tim. Can't really copy you. Okay, 6PDG. Negative copy, all noise.
Here is Kilo Charlie 1, Kilo Lima Whiskey, standing by.
Good enough that I was able to hear you call me, but it's still about 90%, I'd say, noise.
Kevin, or anybody else, can you take the net tonight? Because obviously I'm not going to be able to make it. I can hear you well, Kevin. I'm going to give you a call on your cell phone, just in case you can't hear me.
No quieting that time.
Well, maybe it has something to do with the storm that's coming in. I'm going to pause strategically at different points during the preamble, and feel free to break in if I'm not being heard. Did that come through okay?
Not quite as good, but I did copy. It's probably a repeater issue, I'm thinking. But do what you want. Okay, 6PDG, I'll let you know.
Could also be what's between me and New Haven, because right now I think there's a thunderstorm coming down my way in Groton, so we shall see. Anyhow, calling the Tri-City TipsNet. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, and my name is Tim, and I'm located in the city of Groton. I will be your next control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net, and those that don't wish to check in and would like to listen on the site are welcome to do that. We operate on the 147.06 repeater with a tail tone of 156.7. Our secondary is 146.97, also with a tail tone of 156.7. This net is held every Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time. Let's see. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. HIPS net is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We will ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. There are three parts to this HIPS net. The first is what I just described, with check-ins for questions and comments. The second section is for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And finally, the third section, where there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should go through net control. When checking in to the net, please say "this is," and then release the mic button and listen to assure no one else has called at the same time as you. Sometimes we have people at double, and we just need to figure out a way to have people call in a good sequence. And sometimes we lose conversations if people are doubling too much. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically along with your name and location. This is KC1TWR, net control station for the evening, and we'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign.
Good evening, here is KA6PDG, Kevin in Norwich, and most of the time you're sounding good.
On the floor, and I'm not totally with it this afternoon. Right now, I had a tooth pulled at noontime, so my brain is not exactly on my task at hand, but we will have a discussion anyhow, and I'll try and think of something to talk about if nobody else comes up with anything. But I will remind everybody that this weekend is the Bucksboro Hamfest, and lots of good courses and talks that are going to be given. Not a bad idea to take a look and see what it is. It's a little bit of a drive from down here in Groton, but some people are staying overnight, and some people just going up for the day. So, with that, I'm going to pass the baton over to Kevin and see if he has any thoughts or comments that he would like to share with us. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
Well, thanks, Jim. Good evening to the small net, but maybe it will grow. Maybe some of the faraway stations are having trouble getting into the repeater. You never know. You're probably more with the program than I am, Tim. I just got up from a nap here about 25, half an hour ago. Sorry to hear about your dental issue there. I don't think I have a subject or a question at the moment, see what I mean, but I'll try and think of something, and let's see, boy, I don't know, I'll bet you Jerry probably has a question or a topic or something that he's been wondering about for years. I'm going to continue sipping coffee here, and on my next transmission, I might be a little bit more with it. I might. KA6PDG, back to net control. Thanks, Jim.
No, thank you, Kevin. And going through my TipsNet book, where I record who called into each session and what have you, I found a couple of pieces of paper I was going to bring up in the past couple of weeks, except we got so busy talking about other things. So before we get to Jerry, I will mention that don't forget that we are, I guess, in the middle of the Hiram Percy Maxim birthday celebration. It's a 9-day event. It started on August 31st, and it finishes on Monday, September 8th, so we still have a little bit of time. There's information about that on the web, and it's interesting. I believe that they're doing digital this time as well. I guess it's pretty well wide open. CW, phone, digital, all kinds of things. The other thing that I found of interest is this article that said that Jimmy Kimmel on the TV show, one of the night shows, he got fined $395,000. Or let me rephrase that, maybe not him personally, but the TV show Jimmy Kimmel Live got fined $395,000. And this is because they used some tones. Let me reset real quick. Okay, the FCC has a specific audio tone that accompanies its wireless emergency alerts. And if users hear the tone, they're supposed to pay particular attention, and because it's undoubtedly something that's important. And what they're afraid of is that if it's used too often or non-emergency context, the tone will lose its emphasis and sense of urgency. And consequently, Jimmy Kimmel and some other people, I guess on The Walking Dead and what have you, have paid fines and so forth for using these tones. Interesting enough, I went online and tried to find the tone. I couldn't even find a recording of it. But if I remember right, something in the back of my head says it's more like a two-tone noise. It's not just a single note. It's two notes basically played at the same time, or something like that. And with that, we'll go to Jerry, see if he's got any questions, comments, things that he's been thinking about, or anything about this. We'll see. So, KC1KLW, KC1TWR.
Good evening, Jim and Kevin. Yes, my question is, I recently come into a Rhone 25 tower, and I'm thinking of installing it on my property, and I'm wondering, how can I fashion a device that will raise and lower the tower without any need for mechanical assistance by, say, a cherry picker or anything like that? I would like to do it manually, or maybe with a winch. That would be my main question. My second question would be, is there anyone interested in going up to Boxborough this Saturday? I'm kind of kicking the idea around. I just wonder if there'd be someone to keep me company drawn to drive up there. Okay, KC1KLW, back to net control.
Good questions there, Jerry. As far as raising and lowering, just for the benefit of those listening, the tower that he was able to get does have one of those swivel bases, or whatever you call it, where it allows the tower to be laid down and then hinged back up into an upright position again. So he's got that mechanism that he can put in at the bottom of the tower, and yeah, so that's that question. I've not worked with towers, so other than helping as a ground crew for Larry this past Friday, which went very well. That was a good thing. As far as Boxborough goes, not sure if I'm going up Saturday or not, but maybe somebody else is. So we'll go down to the next person on the list and see what he thinks of everything we've been talking about, or if he's got some other ideas. NK1V, KC1TWR.
NK1V, let me see, should be up at Boxborough, I should say. We're actually camping right nearby at the Minuteman Campground. There's several other hams going to be there from one of the 75-meter groups that I'm involved in the morning. And so that'll be good, and we're doing the Saturday night dinner and everything like that. It's the first time I've done a whole weekend thing with one of those. The wife's coming, and the wife is bringing a friend of hers, so she'll have someone to talk to, and as she says, talking to all my boring ham friends. But what's the other thing I want to say? Oh, in the tower, I actually, let me reset. Being a relatively new ham, when I first came in, the Hop River Radio Club, we actually had to assemble a tower, and then due to some unfortunate circumstances, we had to disassemble the tower. And we had the assistance of a friend of ours, Don, from the Talcott Mountain Science Center there. He is getting a little bit up in the years to be doing towers and stuff like that, but he showed some amazing techniques, which I never even knew about, using a gin pole to assemble the 10-foot sections up and disassemble them down and put everything up. And nothing I would attempt, because I just don't do well on things like that. And nothing that I would only allow someone with some reasonable experience to attempt it on my own situation, because it's pretty tricky. But if you know what you're doing and you have the right equipment, it's actually quite an amazing procedure, using basically just a long pole and rope and a pulley and some special clamps to shimmy the pole up and down. It's quite amazing. But given a choice, as with my tower one day, if I ever get around to it, I would just lay it down. And as long, if it's under 30 feet or whatever, I'm just going to lay it down and winch it up and not have to worry about all that. Back to that, NK1V.
Well, thank you, Steve. I hope you enjoy your time camping up there. I hope the weather's good for you. I haven't looked that far ahead, but hopefully Friday may not be great, but Saturday still looks like it's going to be good. As far as laying the tower down and back up again, I think that's what Jerry was asking, as a matter of fact, is how does one lay it down and put it back up? And I guess the other question would be, how tall of a tower you can have and still reasonably do the laying down and putting it back up, or is there a height beyond which really you shouldn't be laying it down? So I don't know the answers to these. But maybe somebody on the net does, or somebody that would like to join. At this point, I'll do another call-out. This is KC1TWR with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Any other radio amateur operators out there that would like to join, please call now.
This is Kilo 1, Delta, Charlie, Tango. With a question.
Okay, and that recognizes Dave, K1DCT. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, welcome, Dave. Glad you could make it. And we were at the bottom of the list, so we'll tack you on the bottom, and we will let you bring forth your question. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
Oh, well, thank you, Tim. This is K1DCT. I do like instant service. I will comment, as far as Jerry, it's called a tilt-over base. And as far as getting it up and down mechanically, with it, not the Armstrong method, there are some things that you'll probably find in QST, winch devices, a couple of pulleys, and you've got to have a pretty good sized motor to pick that thing up. But there are devices out there, or you can build your own, you know, like I said, a few pulleys, some cables, and it certainly could be done. There's also something out there called a Hazer. That's Hotel Alpha Zulu Echo Romeo. And that's something that mounts on the side of a tower and actually lets you raise and lower. So instead of the center of the tower being where you put the rotator and stuff, it all goes into this hazer so you can lower your antenna down if need be, you know, to at least like the roof level. So you don't have to climb the tower, you can just get up on the roof. So there's a couple of ideas. Now to change gears and downshift entirely, I just picked up a Baofeng UV9R, which is a bigger version than the typical ones you see, the 5R. Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah, 5RA. I'm just wondering if anyone has one and if they've used the same program. In my case, I use Chirp to download. I know it requires a different cable. K1DCT, back to net.
Thank you very much for the information, Dave, and for the question. I do not have the UV9R, but let me go back to you just for very quickly to verify. It's a UV5R, or I'm at 9R or 5R.
Yeah, I just picked up this UV9R, and, you know, of course it's got a bunch of stuff in there I don't want, and it's, you know how wonderful these things are to program manually. So, you know, I've got a cable on order. It didn't come with a cable, but I have a 5R and a program all built, so I'm wondering if anybody's managed to take an existing 5R program and dump it into a 9R without jumping through any fiery hoops. K1DCT.
Very good, thank you, Dave. I don't have a UV9R, so I can't answer that question, but that's as we go through the round, we'll find out if anybody does have one, or if they have experience with various Baofengs. Could be that somebody has experience with other different models where they've used a chirp and a code plug, and whether it's worked, you know, seamlessly between various models or not. So that still wouldn't guarantee the 9R, but it might give us a clue as to the probabilities. Okay, we're going to go back to the top of the list and see, after all this discussion of various items that are brought up, if Kevin has any thoughts on any of these subjects. So, Kevin, K6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR on the TIPSnet, KA6PDG. Welcome to the newcomer, or whatever. Interesting question on the UV9R software. Of course, I do not have an answer. Might be something that you could Google the question and find that someone has discussed it online, or someone will have an answer here momentarily for you. As far as Boxborough, I'm thinking about it. That's an interesting idea, except going to those kinds of events, I inevitably end up spending more money than I should. And where is Boxborough? Is that up near Boston? I think it is. Or is it closer than that? It might be something I'd be interested in if it were just for a few hours. I don't know if I want to spend all of Saturday up there. On the other hand, it is a great place to go and run into hams that you've talked to on the air, or so on and so forth. And a great place to go and
find little didrum dites and thingamajiggers and dealy bobs that you want to purchase. So, don't know whether I'm up for that or not, but if maybe Tim, you can tell me, or somebody can, where Boxborough is. KC1 TWR KA6 PDG in the net.
Basically, it's northwest of Boston, from where I am down in Groton. It's about 85 miles, so they're predicting it'll take about an hour, just over an hour and three quarters to drive there from here. So I would have to say that's probably going to be an hour and 15, well, probably an hour and 20 minutes or so from where you are in Norwich. So that's, yeah, it's up there a little ways. If I go the alternate route, they're predicting it would take me 2 hours and 8 minutes if I went up I-95. But 395 would be the best bet. So that's I wouldn't think that it would be the type of thing you'd go for just a couple hours and then turn around and head back. You'd spend almost more time on the road than you would while you're up there. But something to ponder about. Okay, well, let's go back to Jerry and see if some of the information that we got from Steve and from Dave might have helped you out there. KC1KLW, this is Tipsnet Control, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, KC1KLW, and I do have a couple answers. Number one, Dave, I happen to have a Bolfang UV5R, Uniform Victor 5 Romeo, and I also happen to have a Bolfang F8HP, Foxtrot 8 Hotel Papa, and they both work with the programming cable that I ordered for my Foxtrot 8 Hotel Papa, and I was able to program both radios with one cable, so that seemed to work okay. I don't know how it's going to work with the 9, but it's worth a shot. And I think I might like to go up to Boxborough, but I don't think I want to spend just a couple hours there. I'd like to start out early, spend several hours, and then come on home for the day. Okay, KC1KLW, back to net control.
Okay, very good. Jerry, I do have a quick follow-up before we move on to the next person. You had the same programming cable worked, which is fine. Were you able to take the program or the code plug, whatever you want to call it, for one radio and then use the same one for the other radio, or did you create separate versions on your computer, one for each? Back to you.
Kevin, Tim rather, I could have done it, I didn't do that. I was still playing around, copying its original configuration down to the computer and then modifying that and then copying that back up to the radio. And that seemed to work fine, but I was using that regular program called Chirps, and that seemed to be working. It works fine on both radios. I suppose I could have cloned one for the other, but that was not my intention at that time. Back to net control, KC1KOW.
Okay, very good. That makes sense. And so hopefully, if you'd seen a big difference between the two different plugs, I guess, or two different programs, or software configurations, I think you would have noticed it and said something. So with that, we'll go on to Steve and see if he's got any comments at this point in K1V, net control, KC1TWR.
K1V, excuse me. Yes, I did misunderstand on the tower about bringing it up and down. And I think that there's a lot of different ways of winching it up and down with very little investment, just other than time and personnel. It's with the right type of pulley and setup, and taking time to get it set up, it can go pretty quick and safe, which is more important. on the Hiram Maxim event there. I haven't really done much with that, but I have struggled the past couple of days to get on, or you know, through the weekend to get on for different things and stuff, and then the same thing seems to happen to me all the time, which is I love my 7100 from ICOM in my truck because I like randomly start getting 40 meters really good, you know, it'll just start coming in, and it has the option to just hit record, and it records all the time, it records the frequency, it records the both sides of the conversation, so I'm able to semi-safely make contact and stuff. So I've actually made a couple. I've just been spinning around and picked up a couple on that and was able to use my 150. And they were all impressed that I was mobile at the time, so that's always good. So other than that, what else was there? I think that's all I got for this round. And K1B.
Thank you, Steve. Next round, you can also tell us what kind of antenna you have on your vehicle. I'd be curious about that, and I'm quite impressed by the 7100, the fact that it has that record button, which saves you a lot of, juggling a notebook and a pad paper and everything else while you're trying to record. So I'm glad that's working out for you. In trying to listen to the Hurricane WeatherNet, I've noticed that definitely during the day there have been times where all the bands just seem to be completely dead. So I'm glad you were able to make some contacts there. Okay, with that, we'll go down to Dave. And, quick note on the tower with the pulley and so forth. I guess one of the questions I would have is, when you say a pulley, is there a post you put in the ground near the tower to do the pulley thing? Is it possible to, instead of having a motor, hook up the cable to the backside of a vehicle and then use that to raise and lower by driving back and forth? Or is the pulley put, like half the height of the tower away in order to get a better angle on it and less strain on the cable? But anyhow, let's go on to Dave and see what you're thinking. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, well, I guess you could use any method you want to raise that tower. If you wanted to do it with a vehicle, that's a little, how could I describe that? Let's call it herky-jerky. Wouldn't be as smooth as, some sort of ratcheting device or something, but, it could be done, so. And let's see what else. I'll follow up on my Bale Fay thing. The UV9R is definitely a different programming cable, which I was a little disappointed didn't come with the radio, but I picked it up secondhand. And when I looked online to see what they were worth, to see what was worth buying, the cable didn't come with it. So I was hoping that the person that had it maybe bought one and kind of pass it on, but that didn't happen. So anyway, it's out there in Amazon land somewhere, and it's hopefully heading its way from on a slow boat from China or someplace. So let's see, what else? Heron Percy Maxim stroke 150. Yeah, I've been playing around with that on PSK. Made a few contacts, not a ton. Not going to get any award, but having a good time. As I usually operate a lot of contests, it's, my goal is to make a few contacts and have a good time. So, mission accomplished. That's about it, I think. I probably forgot something, but I'll forget it again next time. Back to net, K1DCT.
Well, thank you, Dave. And that's interesting. It has a special programming cable. I wonder if it's because of the port on the radio or something of that nature. And my experience with, I'm going to have to look this the CV9R up. I have my curiosity now. But my experience with the Baofengs that I have is I usually go through the, do the programming right through the radio itself instead of hooking it up to the computer, because I only need a couple of repeaters in the area plugged into them. And I've been pretty successful in getting that done, not just programming right through. So hopefully you can do the same thing and get some use out of it while you wait for the cable. And I'm hoping the cable is a good cable, if you know what I mean. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. We're going to do another call out. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and this is the TIPS, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPS Net. It's open to all amateur radio operators, so if anybody would like to check in, please call now.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Baker Mike, Frank out of Gales Ferry.
Here is Kilo 0, Juliet Echo Bravo, Josh and Groton, good evening. Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck and Groton, good evening.
Okay, Net recognizes Josh, K0JEB, and Chuck, W1FJW. And before both of you, there was a check-in from Gales Ferry. Could you come back again with your name and call sign?
It's Kilo Charlie 1, Frank Baker Mike. Name is Frank.
Net recognizes Frank, KC1FBM. Glad to hear you on the air, sir. And I don't know if you folks have been listening or not, the three of you, but we were at the bottom list, so I'm going to hit you up quickly, each of you, to see if you have a question or a comment you'd like to make before we go back to the top of the list. So, Frank, KC1FBM, any questions for the net or any comments? This is KC1TWR.
The only comment is I'm hitting the repeater with a portable.
Okay, very good. You're a little scratchy, but we can hear you, so that's good. That's wonderful. And next we'll go to Josh, K0JEB. This is Net Control, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JB. Sorry, I don't have any thoughts or input about the UV9R being compatible with the code plug for UV5R. I know the programming cable is different, and they do that on purpose. I swear they do that on purpose. Compatible. I just don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't catch anything else other than that. I'm sitting here trying to mess with a printer issue, trying to get my printer to print, and I gotta get some paperwork for the job that I got offered this afternoon. Back to Net Controls, K0JB.
Well, thank you, Josh, for your comments, and we're not holding you accountable for knowing whether the same code plug will work for both radios or not, but good luck with getting the printer to work. Let us know if you run into issues and need to borrow somebody's printer or services of a printer. Okay, let's move on to Chuck, W1FJW. This is KC1TWR.
Well, the only comment I have or is someone was asking about the commercial broadcasting alert tone. It is a two-tone signal. It is 853 hertz and 960 hertz, which when played together are especially annoying and chosen to be so. The same attention code for the weather stations is 1,050 hertz. Back to net, W1FJW.
Thank you very much, Chuck. That's a good piece of information. I'm going to have to do some more research on that. That's good. Okay, we've reached the bottom of the list. I'm going to do a quick call out, and then we'll run through the list again. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, we're back around to the top of the list, and we'll see if the coffee has helped Kevin to wake up a little bit, or if he's still a little cloudy-brained. By the way, down here in the city of Groton, it has started raining rather decently, so hopefully this weather pattern will go through without too much fuss and bother. So, Kevin, KA6BDG, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
KA6PDG. Well, I think I'm getting some of the cobwebs drowned here with the coffee. Good information all around on the various questions. And Jerry, I copied your idea. You're gonna probably go for the day. I'll think about it, but I'm not not too inclined at this particular moment. There's something to be said for nets, however, roundtable style nets like this. While the net has been going on, I completely disconnected and removed my antenna tuner. I got the new MFJ993B this afternoon, and N1SPX is going to remotely guide me to install it. It should be interesting, but he's good at that sort of thing. And so we'll see what that does. Still having some antenna issues over here, but at least there's wire up there. So that's a start. And one more comment after I reset. With respect to the static or noise that sometimes occurs on your signal, and it's hard to say, it might be the same thing I've heard on some other signals, and it more or less comes and goes. As most stations on this net know, they've been trying to track down some hobgoblins on this repeater, or maybe something near the repeater site that might be doing hobgoblin-y things. But the comment I was going to make is, I notice on your signal, which overall has been quite good for most of the net, but when the noise occurs and then stops, it stops very suddenly. I mean, extremely suddenly, as if someone flipped a switch instantly. So don't know if there's any possibility that you would have any kind of loose connection or anything. I think a month or two back, you had an issue with the microphone. I think that was you. I might be mistaken. Anyway, I don't know if that's worth anything or helpful to anybody. I'll try and listen to other stations' signals as well. But it's a lot better than it was at the beginning of the night. And you've been full quieting the past couple of transmissions, Tim. Okay, 6PDG, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. And it could be I'm sitting in a car and I do have the AC going, so I just turned the fan off. So let me know if going forward if you hear the static again. And I'd have to believe it is something local to me, because I'm not hearing any sporadic static or anything from anyone else. So it's probably me, not the repeater. Okay, and let's go move on to Jerry, and I might take you up on the thought of going up to Boxborough Saturday. I'll have to check my calendar tomorrow and get a hold of you. But in the meantime, any further comments or thoughts you might have, KC1KLW, this is Tips Net Control, KC1TWR.
Yes, Tip. No, I have no further comments for the net or questions. And, yeah, do please let me know if you have a desire to go up to Boxborough. I'm quite interested in doing that. All right. This is KC1KLW. Back to net.
Okay, very good. And we're going to move on to Steve now and see if he has any further thoughts or comments about the towers or the radios or the tones. We've covered quite a bit of ground tonight, and I do have a question on what kind of a HF antenna you're using on your vehicle. So NK1B, KC1TWR.
This is NK1V. Actually, I used on the recommendation of one of my Elmers, which I didn't think would really work all that well. It was, I guess MFJ owns them now. It's basically the ham stick. You know, it's mostly fiberglass, you know, externally wound, and then there's a stinger that you can adjust. And I spent a lot of time, it's a pickup truck, it's actually a large pickup truck, which I think is what's making it so successful, because everything is bonded, all the pieces of body and the frame and everything, and the attachment, the feed point, is on a nice big piece of aluminum angle iron that's bonded very well to the body, and I'm using one of the old, those ball mounts that used to be popular with CB radio and stuff, and they're a really nice one, and it works very well. Because it's, you know, it's rugged, so when I hit stuff. And the only thing that I had to do different, well, let me reset. I don't know the part number, but again, it was an MFJ thing, which amazingly works great. It's a matching box. Like, I believe I'm doing some, there's some transformer windings and messing with the impedance a little bit. And basically, for each stick, because you have to, the only disadvantage, you have to change a stick for every band. But once it's set up, it's just a matter of spin them on, spin them off. And you set the SWR, you know, you set all your settings dry without the matching box, and then you put the match box in, and then you bring it a little bit closer to where you want it. And then you can readjust the stinger, you know, to the length a little bit, and you can get them in really good. And they have broad enough bandwidth that they're definitely usable. And the 20 and 40 I have great success with. I will probably actually pick up maybe a 17 or 15 at the Hamfest if there's the right price, because they go anywhere from $10 to $20. And the 75 meter, I hear a lot of stuff, but at that point you're only getting like 10% out, and I've really had no success transmitting on it, but you can hear on it very well. Back to net, NK1B.
Okay, very good, Steve, and thank you for the description of what you're using. That was very clear and very informative. And let's go ahead and move down to Dave, K1DCT. This is KC1TWR.
Okay, well, very good. Yeah, I don't really have anything additional to add, talk about. I do think what Steve's doing there with those hamsticks is a good way to go. You know, if you want to change bands, yeah, you gotta stop the car and change antennas, but I think you're probably getting a little more efficiency than, and it's a little more streamlined than, say, going the route of the Hustler with the multiple coils on it. You know, that can be a bit unwielding. So, in fact, I'm considering doing a little HF mobile stuff myself, and I think that's the route I'm going to go if it all comes together. So, with that, won't delay the process. Back to the net control. This is K1DCT.
thank you, Dave. And if you think of it, it probably would be helpful for people who are still fairly new and haven't done any mobile HF-type work, what have you, if you took a few photographs and maybe put together a presentation on it, just so that we can see how that works, or even let us know when you're doing it. Maybe we can pop over and see how it goes. But that's entirely up to you. I don't mean to put any pressure on you. Okay, let's go to the next person on the list. Frank, and with all the comments we've been talking about, any thoughts on that or any other questions or comments you'd like to make this evening? KC1FBM, KC1TWR.
This is KC1FBM. My only comment is about the radiant in Gale Ferry. KC1FBM, back to net.
Okay, very good. And putting my window down for a second, but it stopped raining down here at Eastern Point Beach, so hopefully it'll stop for you too fairly soon. And we'll find out how Josh is making out with his printer, or if he has any other comments at K0JEB, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JB. I managed to get this printer working. I only had to print 4 pages, but it's a hassle when the printer says you're out of ink and you know you're not. And so I took the toner cartridge out and cheated and put some electrical tape over the porthole so it wouldn't see through the cartridge and know that and think that it's empty. So I got that working. Sorry, I wasn't here for the whole thing. I didn't catch all the conversation. Some of the stuff I did hear back and forth while I was trying to fix this was pretty cool. Whoever is going up to Foxborough, from what I hear, it's definitely a good time had by all. That's about all I have. K0JEB, back to net.
Congratulations on getting the printer fixed. Myself, the toner cartridges and lasers, I usually use the shake, rattle, and roll to redistribute the dust or toner or whatever it is inside of it. And that I can usually get a couple hundred more pages that way, but sounds like you really know what you're doing there, and that's great. Okay, we'll move on now to Chuck, W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Well, I have no further questions or comments for the net. Good evening all, W1FJW.
Okay, very good. We're at the bottom of the list, and we are also at the point of, I think, moving into the second section because of the time. Do a quick call out if anybody would like to join. Please call now.
This is Whiskey 1, Julia Escapapa, no questions.
Recognizes John, W1FJOP. Any further calling check-ins, please call now. Okay, John, I want to give you a chance to make a comment in this section before we close it. Any comments on what you've heard so far? W1JOP, KC1TWR.
The only thing I heard was the Jimmy Kimmel thing, then I had jump in the shower, so, and whatever. So I pass it back to Ned. I don't want to tie it up for too long. This is W1JOP.
Okay, very good. Actually, Chuck found the frequencies of that tone, and rather than rehash that, this is a good point to mention the fact that Kevin, K6PDG, has been recording these nets for posterity and for reference. If we think back and say, oh yeah, somebody talked about hamsticks, let me go find that. So at am1700.org/tipsnet is where you'll find all these recordings.
and sometimes they're quite interesting to replay, or if you miss a net. Okay, we're going to close the first section, get onto the second section of the net, and that is for announcements and items of interest. And we do know that the Screams Club is meeting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Waterford Police Station, for those that are interested. We know that there's Boxborough event going on this weekend up in Boxborough, Massachusetts. And that's all I think I'm aware of at the moment, so I will open the floor. Anyone else with any announcements or items of interest, please call now.
K0JV with an announcement.
Go ahead, K0JV, KC1TWR.
Thanks, Tim. It's K0JB. Want to invite everyone to the next monthly meeting for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. We have our meetings every month on the second Tuesday of the month at the Red Cross office at 1031 Route 32, Uncasville, Connecticut. Meetings start at 7:30, and this coming meeting on September 10th, Harry Salt, N1FAM, is going to be giving a presentation on ugly RF filters that are supposedly easy to build and with very, very little expense. So it's going to be good to see a nice do-it-yourself project. And all are welcome, members or not, you're welcome to attend. It's K0JB, back to net.
Josh, for that announcement, any questions or comments, or Josh, please call now. Okay, any further announcements or items of interest, please call now. Okay, now we'll go into the third section where this is for cell swap or looking for amateur radio related items. Anybody who has anything they would like to either cell swap or if you're looking for something, please call now. K0JEB.
K0JB, good evening everybody again. I'm currently on the lookout for a 1 1/4 inch 10-foot section of pipe for my my chimney setup here. So if anybody has one, please contact me and let me know what we can work out. It's K0JEB, back to net.
Anyone have any questions or comments for K0JEB and his search for a pipe, please call now.
K1DCT.
Hey, K1DCT, please go ahead and talk directly to K0JEB.
Hi, Josh. You said 1 inch or 1 1/4. That was inside or outside diameter?
Outside diameter. I've got the chimney clamps, but they're very small. They don't take a very big pipe. So if it's 1 1/4 or smaller, it'll fit in the bracket.
All right, thank you. I will, I'll look around. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, very good. Any other questions for Josh or any other items for sale or for wants or swap, please call now. would like to check in, and then we'll close the net. So anybody else that's out there listening would like to check into the net, please call now. Okay, that was the last call. We have no further check-in, so we'll go ahead and close the net. I'd like to thank all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at 1031 on 1031 Route 32 in Montville, Connecticut. Meeting started at 7:30 p.m., although this was covered by K0JEB earlier, but still it's good to know. And those meetings are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club can be found at www.tricityarc.net. The Tri-City Amateur, right. We thank John W1AN for the use of this repeater. And I actually bumped into him at Larry WR1B when he was taking the tower down. He showed up with some of his specialized equipment and gave a very good hand. And I personally thanked him again for allowing us to use this repeater for the tips net. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is KC1TWR. Good evening and 73.